From the Game Nashville studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Morning Drive with Nick Kale, Braden Gall, and Derek Mason. On Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
Welcome to the show, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hour number four, Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Josh Upton in for Chase McCabe. Nick Kale not in, not feeling well. Chase McCabe on a trip. We do have confirmation of his existence. He is still alive, Chase McCabe. I asked him, can you comment on a report that you passed out in a booth at the all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet, easy for me to say, in a casino? Ha, I'm driving through a mountain to the golf course. The report is false. I did sleep some. To which Derek said, where? What time did you leave the casino? 3, and in a hotel room. So he slept in a hotel room but did not leave the casino until 3 in the morning. Which sounds about right.
So do you... Here's the question.
It's an update on the constable.
Yeah, update on constable. Do you... See, all of that defeated the purpose for me. Because do you, knowing that you have a hotel room, do you waste money to purchase a hotel room to only sleep an hour or two?
5 hours, four hours.
No, he said he slept a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it's 14 guys in one hotel room is a lot of dudes.
I'm just sleeping in my car. Honestly, I'm just sleeping in my car.
He knows we're going to take everything out of context, right?
Like, absolutely.
Like he says, I slept in a hotel room. He's on a trip with 14 dudes.
So all of y'all slept in a hotel room.
So clearly all of them slept in the same room.
Yeah.
That's being reported. There's reports out there that he ate at the shrimp buffet. There's reports that he played blackjack until 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
There's reports that he's going to try to play golf today.
Yeah.
Unless he's confirming or denying these things, we're just going to run with it. Because we're responsible journalists with a capital J.
Because he said, I slept in a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
So we are to believe that he slept in there with 13 other guys.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yep.
That's what I heard.
And you know those hotel rooms are not that big.
Well, right, and they're in the mountains in North Carolina, so unless they're in Asheville, it's probably not a nice hotel. Yeah. All right, NBA draft tonight, Derek, coming up. I'm fascinated, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. One of them is just the amount of local flavor that's going to be on display tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked, obviously, John Morant is penciled in to go to Memphis at number two. There's local flavor from two different angles there, right? Memphis, and you talked about the big trade with Mike Conley. I do understand that it's bizarre that the Grizzlies don't resonate in this city.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know necessarily why that is, whether or not Memphis has done much work. I think we talked to a Memphis radio host one time who said there was a lottery party thrown in Nashville to watch the lottery a couple of weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was thrown by some local people in Nashville, and he goes, that's more than the Grizzlies have ever done in Nashville. So it feels like what local people in Memphis are saying is that the Memphis Grizzlies don't attempt. And the way the Predators do, right? The Predators mm-hmm. are trying to push their brand into Knoxville, up into Bowling Green, Kentucky Downs. They're trying to push it down into Huntsville and Birmingham. They're trying to push it down to Chattanooga and Atlanta. And that's smart business. The Grizzlies, it doesn't feel like they've tried to push their brand into Nashville. I wonder if a Ja Morant and a cleansing, it sounds like the Conley deal is as big a deal as you could think of for the Grizzlies lately.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason that people could find, like, maybe potentially get more interested in the Grizzlies if Ja Morant, a Murray State product who played a lot of games in Nashville against OVC competition, is there a chance that that leads to some level of intrigue? Because he's a great player, mm-hmm. and he's got a ton of time now with the ball that Mike Conley's gone.
Yeah, he will. And for those that didn't know, Mike Conley got dealt from the Memphis Grizzlies to the Utah Jazz. In exchange, Memphis gets Grayson Allen, former Duke player, Kyle Korver, who's been in the league for seems like 30 years, Jay Crowder. Now, Korver and Crowder played together in Cleveland a few years ago.
Crowder's not a bad player.
No, Crowder's a good player. So they got back three players, and then they get the 23rd pick in Thursday's draft and a future first-round pick. So did they get enough back for Conley? I think the thought process here was they're drafting Ja Morant. He and Conley played both the same position, even though I think the NBA is a positionless league. But Conley has the ball in his hand majority of the time bringing up the court. But if you're going to draft John Morant, then that would be his job. So you deal away Conley. Now, by drafting Morant, will that cause Memphis fans to want to go, or even Nashville fans, knowing, you know, how close Murray State is to Nashville, watching him, being, you know, aware of who he is because of the league
playing against Belmont in the OVC championship game. I think he had 37 points, something like that in that game. Dylan Windler in that game could get drafted tonight. Three Tennessee players projected to be second-round picks. You know, that's sort of disappointing, even though it should be a moment of celebration. And then Darius Garland, of course. There's Kentucky players, three of them that probably are going to be first-round picks this year. So I don't know if John Morant gives you more interest in Memphis, but I don't know. I think he is a commodity that again, I'm just speaking for myself here. I am interested in watching him play. I think he is a special athlete and a special player, worthy of the number two overall pick. As a Knicks fan, I would take either him or R.J. Barrett at three. I'd be happy with that. But I am interested to see a pseudo-local. I don't know if you count Murray State as local, but it's pseudo, right? It's sort of,
I think, people that know best, people that watch, you know, Belmont, OVC, they know about Ja Morant.
I mean, the Isaiah Cannon-Ian Clark game when Belmont and Murray State played, that was a that was one of the best basketball games I've ever seen in this city. So Murray State is close enough to have some alumni and have some people here, I think.
But will it cause you
to I might
look
watch
at
Memphis,
a little bit more? Memphis is weird to me. I'm talking about the Grizzlies and not the city. The Memphis Grizzlies is weird in the sense of even when they had Gasol, Conley, Allen, Randolph, those guys, and they were in the Western Conference Finals, I still couldn't get that excited about that team. I don't know what it is.
Well, they didn't have star power.
Yeah,
was Rudy Gay on that team?
Yeah, Rudy Gay. They had some really good players, but they didn't have that one star player. And in a league full of stars, you got to have that guy.
And they've had some dysfunction, right? Like the coaching staff, the administration, the front office. Again, you talk to local Memphis media people, and they're like, they're not pushing. They're not trying to make it in Nashville. Like, they don't even try. And that to me makes no sense, because while people in Memphis may not like Nashville, most people in Nashville, there's no ill will at all. I have no ill will towards Memphis. It's a bizarre sort of relationship, one directional, I think. And it goes back for decades in politics and all kinds of stuff.
But as far as sports,
I don't know why people in Nashville wouldn't be interested, especially if a number two overall pick who sort of has been pseudo in the area for his career is all of a sudden the star of the team, and they have space to maybe go out and sign somebody. I don't know. It could be interesting. And, you know, otherwise, like, you know, what is Zion Williamson is fascinating to everybody, no matter what city you live in. The Knicks are fascinating because they're a train wreck, no matter what city you live in. Darius Garland is a huge draw for me tonight. I want to see where he goes because I think he's a really good player. Outside of that,
I think Tennessee guys, obviously.
You're paying attention to that. I think P.J. Washington for Kentucky is a much better player than where he's projected in the draft. I think he's projected sort of, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16 in that range. I think he's more of a 7, 8, 9 lottery pick. Like, I like P.J. Washington's game. He's big, broad shoulders, tall, lanky, can shoot inside. You know, I don't know. I like P.J. Washington a lot. Tyler Herro can shoot. He's going to get a job in the NBA pretty easily and probably stick around forever because he can knock down jumpers.
Yeah, if you could shoot in this league, they'll find a place for you. This is a situation where Kentucky don't have as many players that are projected, you know, draftees this year. But I think the area – as a whole, meaning UT, Vandy, Belmont, Lipscomb, Kentucky, they a collection of players. I think it's more well-rounded and more diverse when you are talking about your basketball programs within a 200-mile radius, 200-300-mile radius of Nashville. So that's a good thing. I know a lot of people, you know, in in Knoxville will be paying attention because of Schofield, Williams, and Bone. I'm pretty sure. I don't know how much the people of Vanderbilt will be paying attention just because Garland, yes, he did attend Vanderbilt, but they only saw him for five games. So they didn't really get an opportunity to connect with Garland. And I think after he got injured, you didn't even see him on the bench anymore, I don't think. Yeah. He might have been maybe a couple of games in, but after that, I don't think he – and, you know, listeners, you can call or tweet at us and correct me if I'm wrong. But they didn't get an attachment to Garland the way, you know, some of these other guys got attached to their fan base because he only played five games.
Yeah.
So,
hey, golly, every time I see highlights of him, I'm just going, man.
What if?
Yeah, it's just he's such a good player. Like, listen, I want R.J. Barrett at three as a Knicks fan, but if they end up with Garland, I'd be fine with that. Like, I think R.J. Barrett's the better player, better prospect, but Garland's not too much further behind, and I would be happy with Darius Garland at number three if R.J. goes number two or whatever, or something happens and they act stupid and trade down or something. I think Darius Garland's going to be a player in the league for a long time. It just makes you so. You're just like, God, what could have been had he made it there?
Yeah.
Will it be a disappointment if none of the Tennessee players go in the first round? We'll get to that. And then I've got a mid-major guy I really want to get to because we talked to Jordan Brenner earlier, and one of the things he talked about was how good the NBA is today at developing young players. That could tie into the Tennessee players that get drafted tonight as well. So will it be disappointing if none of them go in the first round? We'll get into that. And is it still the right decision for those guys to go pro because of where the league is at from a development standpoint? We'll get to that when we come back. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Hey, Derek.
What up?
You're invited.
Am I?
Along with all the other people in Nashville, to participate in the inaugural Nashville Sports Council Golf and Guns Weekend presented by Team Construction. The Sports Council is a membership-funded organization that relies on the support of the local community to carry out their mission to attract and promote sporting events to the greater Nashville area. Have we attracted any good sporting events to the greater Nashville area recently?
Oh, a bunch of them.
I think we have. Join us on June 27th through the 29th to enjoy some top golf and clay shooting with friends, family, or coworkers. Go to NashvilleSports.com for more details.
Hmm.
I feel like top golf and clay shooting, that sounds like a dangerous combination.
Yeah. Do I?
But it sounds fun.
Do I hit the golf ball?
Or do I shoot
something? Shoot it? They shoot the golf ball?
I don't think.
Or they,
you
hit
have to
the
be
golf
a pretty
ball,
good shot.
And then they shoot the clay.
Although, I'm assuming you shoot shotguns, right, with clay? I'm assuming. So. Yeah, you got a wide you got a wide target there.
Yeah,
maybe you could hit the golf ball.
Like you hit the golf ball and they say pull.
Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I think it's pull before you hit the golf ball, but
yeah, there we go.
Well, in this case, the golf ball is the pull.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. So Tennessee players, real quickly, if all three right now are projected to go in the second round, Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, Jordan Bone, I think there's a lot of different ways to look at it. I think on the surface, it's a night to celebrate if you're a Tennessee fan. How good that team was, and that these three young guys are going into the league and probably will get a chance to have careers in the NBA. I thought Jordan Brenner earlier from The Athletic had interesting comments about how, listen, the NBA's development has come a long way, that the NBA's developmental aspect of their product now is far better than it's ever been before. I think that's a really interesting sort of insight as to where the league is, that going to the G League and going to develop your game in the NBA with NBA coaches – you know, where Jerry Stackhouse was coaching, right, is now a better option for you as a young player than to maybe come back and work on your game at the college level. I found that to be a pretty interesting comment. And so if that's the case, then I don't have any fault or any question about, you know, Jordan Bone going pro. Obviously, Admiral Schofield is out of eligibility. But Grant Williams, who all along felt like his goal was lottery pick, then it sort of felt like, oh, his goal's first round pick, and now he's a projected second round pick. He probably could go in the first round tonight, but the development is so good in the NBA now that it's better for them to go pro. I think even if they all go in the second round, it's a reason I still think Tennessee fans should celebrate and say, you know what, three dudes off this team got drafted in one draft, regardless of where they go in the draft, and celebrate that, even though it feels like a disappointment, if that makes sense.
No, it would be if all three of those guys get drafted. And also you got, you know, potentially a free agent, Kyle Williams. is it Williams?
Kyle Alexander.
Yeah, Kyle Alexander. I'm putting Williams. Kyle Alexander. So you got potentially four guys that can, at the start of training camp, that could be on the NBA roster for training camp, whether it's Alexander or Bone, Williams, or Schofield. If I'm not mistaken, that would be the most UT guys in 1 year coming out of college on an NBA training camp roster. Four guys off of that.
Off of one team.
So
I'd have to check that, but I would guess that you're right.
And if that is the case, that's a plus. That's a win for the university and the program. But then if you get three guys that are drafted, I think that's a plus and a win for the program, because, you know, they can always point to three guys being drafted into the NBA. And the NBA has become like MLB or NHL with their farm leagues. Is it better for these young men to forego maybe their college career or their junior, senior year to then go to these professional league farm teams and develop and still get paid? I think the way that it was presented to us today, that to me, that's a win for those three guys, because not only do I get to develop my game, I get to develop it against, you know, better players. I get to experience sort of the NBA life with the traveling and not, you know, having to go to class and living more of an adult life, with all the while getting better, competing, making money.
Right.
So I think it would be, even if they got drafted in the first, second round, I think it's a win for all three. But I think in Williams' case, you know, many thought, once he ended his college career, that he was at least a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, and I think that's the perception versus reality thing.
Exactly.
I think if they all go in the second round tonight, I think perception will be, oh, that's disappointing, they should have come back. And fans, of course, want those players to come back. But that may not be the reality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it just might not. The other name I would love to see, go off the board tonight. I don't know if he'll be drafted, and maybe he won't. Garrison Matthews from Lipscomb, 6'5" shooting guard in the gym range. I mean, I think there's a lot of scouts that are sort of quietly bullish on him as a prospect. I think he's a developmental league guy, but when you've got that kind of range and you can shoot like that, shattered every scoring record in Lipscomb history. That's a guy to me that strikes me as a modern NBA player. Like he's got the skill set. He may not be athletically as you know, he's obviously, again, if you don't get drafted, you're not nearly as good an athlete as some of the other guys. But I just think he can make a roster. I would not be surprised if he's a late pick tonight or if we see him signed quickly and Lipscomb's got a guy that's shooting the lights out in the G League in the next 2 years.
Yeah, that would be a plus, again, for that program. A guy that, you know, has an opportunity to start the training camp off on the NBA team. And then, you know, an opportunity to work his way up maybe in a few years in the G League. I think that league is becoming more so of the feeder league to the NBA. I think you're going to start seeing guys, you know, opting out once they get rid of the one and done. And it's just you can go straight from college to the pros.
Right.
I think you're going to see a lot of kids. Or a lot of scouts and GMs drafting kids and sending them automatically to the G League, allowing them to grow into their body from a physical standpoint and to hone in on their skills, you know, on the court skills. So I think it will be a win no matter what for any one of these individuals, you know, from Lipscomb, Belmont, UT, Vandy. Obviously, we know Garland is a lottery pick.
Different level.
Yeah, but it would be a win for all of these guys if they can be on the NBA roster.
And Dylan Windler is projected to be an early second-round pick as well out of Belmont. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty safe – that puts him safely in the draft tonight, which is a good sign for him. It's just a really interesting draft tonight. And I've not been as interested in a draft in this long in quite some time. partly Zion, right? Mm-hmm. Zion's a draw. As a Knicks fan, they've got the third pick, which we could end up with as a we there. We could get RJ.
Say we, you cried.
RJ Barrett, I cried. I was 12. It's the last time I felt emotion for my Knicks. Darius Garland, Vanderbilt, and then you mentioned all the Tennessee guys. There's just so much to consume tonight. I'm assuming you're locked in from like the first second. You know, hey, the Pelicans are on the clock. You're going to be sitting down, you know, popcorn and everything, ready to go.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to. Because, I mean, I enjoy the NBA draft. One, it's not long. It's only two rounds.
Yes, I agree with that.
And then, you know, you get to see guys that, you know, you probably didn't watch a lot of. They show their highlights, and then they show their backstory and whatnot. And then you get to see a lot of movement. That's one thing that happens in the NBA.
There's so many
trades. That
doesn't
happen in a lot of other leagues. A lot of movement.
I will say, though, there's been years, and maybe it's changed recently. Mm-hmm. It's too much.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be, you'd see the 7th pick, the 8th pick, the 12th pick, the 14th pick, the 19th pick, all traded, and you're going like, oh, and three other players were involved in this deal. There are times when it's hard to keep track of.
Some guys get traded before they even go to do the interview.
Well, didn't Kobe get traded?
Yeah, Kobe got traded very quickly.
Like, picked and traded.
Yeah,
like
Memphis traded him away. Memphis, no. Duh.
Brutal. Was he any good?
I don't know. Maybe just a little bit.
I'm assuming the Knicks will do something stupid tonight to screw it all up. But it should be fun to watch. I am more interested in this NBA draft than I have in a long time. Partly because of the ties to our area, but also, you know, Zion's a huge draw. What the Pelicans have done making the trades is interesting. It's just very interesting to me. So locked in on that coming up tonight as well.
Quick correction.
Yeah, go ahead.
Kobe drafted by Charlotte.
Charlotte, yeah, not Memphis.
I was going to say.
Sorry, Memphis.
No, it wasn't.
I thought it was Philly, but that.
I thought it was Philly, too. Yeah. He's from Philly.
I don't
Philly.
Know why I thought it was Charlotte. I don't know why I thought it was Memphis.
Can't give them credit for anything.
Yeah, can't get them credit for nothing. So it was Charlotte. Now, when did Memphis get their NBA team?
I thought you were about to say, when was it that Memphis blew it?
I'm trying to – I don't know why. Maybe because of
– It came from Vancouver.
Yeah. Maybe because went there as the GM from the Lakers. That's why.
2001. It's later than I would have guessed. I would have thought like 98, 99. So way
and
after
Kobe was drafted after Kobe. Kobe was drafted in
like 95 or
96.
96, yeah.
All right. Draft coming up tonight. All right, Matt Duchene update. We'll get you updated on Matt Duchene. What is the latest with the former Avalanche, former Senator, former Blue Jacket center? And we'll let you know what the timetable is for that and what it could look like moving forward and what the numbers could be. We'll give you an update on that when we come back. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Morning Drive. Matt Duchene watch begins on Sunday. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Nick Cale out, injured. Questionable for tomorrow. Chase McCabe, questionable for the rest of his life. he's driving. I don't know if he's going to survive the weekend or not. We'll give you an update on Matt Duchene, but I want to remind everybody, we were talking NBA draft there for a few minutes. Of course, coverage begins 6 o'clock tonight following Jared and the GM. You can listen to the NBA draft tonight in its entirety right here, of course, on 102.5 The Game. So make sure you keep it tuned right here for the NBA draft tonight. A lot of Middle Tennessee and SEC flavor involved in that draft as well. By the way, Amber tweets me and says, there's a draft watch party for the Grizzlies tonight here in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
So how about that?
There you go.
You guys actually are trying. There actually are Grizzlies fans in this town.
Yes.
They're not a loud, obnoxious bunch, which I do appreciate, but, mm-hmm. You know, who knows. All right, so the Matt Duchene situation. Here was the report yesterday from Darren Drager that $9.5 million per year is the conservative number for Matt Duchene. Mm-hmm. On Sunday, it will be the first day that clubs can meet with and talk with and sort of pitch Matt Duchene as a potential place for him to land. Then you cannot obviously sign the contract until July 1st. That is sort of the timeline here. The NHL draft tomorrow night, of course, That's where all the GMs are all gathering in Vancouver. All of them are together, so there's lots of wheeling and dealing going on right now. So anything could happen between now and Sunday. You could see the rights to Matt Duchene essentially traded, and then that team has the opportunity maybe to re-sign him before Sunday, in theory, or to at least get the details of the contract ironed out. But $10 million per year, here's the thing, the two things that I've said and we've talked about on the show today. The two things that really pop into my head when I hear $10 million per year. Number one, looking at all these contracts, Erik Karlsson, Kevin Hayes, and Duchene, all these other numbers that are popping up, it feels like GMs know the salary cap is going to take a major jump in the next year, 2 years, with Seattle coming in and a potential new television contract for the NHL. That to me tells me that all of the contracts are going to start going up, which is good news for players, of course. Number two, how does David Poile make room on the roster when there's maybe, after some re-signings, there's maybe $4 or $5 million, give or take, depending on what you get Grimaldi assistance and if you want Brian Boyle back? How do you make $10 million fit into a $5 million box? I don't know how that happens without major trades.
Hard.
Lots of trades. Don't talk about Nick's evening like that.
I didn't say it, Nick.
No, you said it all last hour. You took a whole segment to
rewind. Oh, man.
I just don't know. There has to be a trade. Like, I don't know how and this is what David Poile's trying to accomplish, I would guess, just assuming here. During this draft process, trying to figure out a way to make a trade to create space, whether it's Subban, whether it's Dick Bonino, whether it's Kyle Turris, I don't see how you have the actual ability to sign Matt Duchene at $10 million a year without a big move.
Well, there's a move if indeed the Predators are to acquire Duchene. There has to be a move or several moves made to clear space to acquire Matt Duchene. We had Corey Curtis on earlier, and I posed the question, how would Nashville Predator fans feel if indeed you trade PK Subban for future prospects, great future prospects, but future prospects nonetheless, guys that won't cost you a lot now, but have the potential to be key players in this team's continual growth and run to the Stanley Cup. And his thing was, well, if that is indeed the case, you still get a player in Duchene that could make up possibly for what you lost in PK Subban, is true.
You have to view it as a PK Subban for Matt Duchene trade.
Yeah,
is sort of how you have to view it. And the good, so there's good and bad in this, right? The good is that the Predators are in such a good situation with the sort of how complete their roster is. There's certainly some things they need to work on. They hired a power play coach. We've talked about all the issues ad nauseum, but there's so many different options here for David Poile that it's a testament to the job he's done and the franchise has done to put themselves in the position they're in today, because you could, in theory, trade PK Subban for three prospects and a first-round draft pick. So you're getting market value for him, but it's sort of a move that a team that's rebuilding would make. Well, you slide Dante Fabbro in, and you've rebuilt your farm system, and you've cleared space to sign Matt Duchene, so you've gotten better offensively. You are not better defensively, even though you believe in Dante Fabbro. So you do take a step back without PK Subban. He is one of the better players on the team. But to say that you could still be a playoff team, we both agree that he could be, that this team is, if you trade PK Subban for only future assets, this is still a playoff team.
Yes.
And that's a really high compliment to a team that's, how can you be in rebuilding mode and also competing mode all in the same time? And that's really a testament to David Poile. What I find so interesting about all this, Derek, is this feels like an NBA offseason for the Nashville Predators, in that I would not be surprised in anything. I wouldn't be shocked if PK Subban is traded or not traded. I wouldn't be shocked if Kyle Turris is kept or traded. Nick Bonino. Name another player. Ryan Ellis. I wouldn't be surprised if at anything David Poile does at this point, I wouldn't be surprised outside of probably Jofa, Yossi, Ekholm, Saros. Outside of those sort of foundational building block pieces that are young and signed, and assuming they sign Yossi, of course, I wouldn't be shocked at anything that happens in the next 2 or 3
Would you
days.
Be shocked if nothing happened?
No. No, not at all.
If like, they just came back status quo. Obviously, there will be some change
right, like,
in players because of draft picks and everything.
Sure.
But if the big, what we assume will happen, the big moves, if it didn't happen.
I mean, I think that's certainly not what David Poile has said to us, mm-hmm. right? Like, he said publicly, hey, I think we're going to try to make some changes. So, like, he's openly admitting to it. And David Poile's not one who, like, tends to, like, smoke screen and lie to us about mm-hmm. stuff. He tends to be pretty open and honest as much as he can be. And I think if they came back with the lineup that had 100 points last year and won its back-to-back division title, I don't think that they're in some desperation mode. It also mm-hmm. doesn't mean that a move couldn't be made in the middle of the season. Kyle Turris's value probably goes up every game. You know, if you tell me what Kyle Turris's value is today mm-hmm. versus what's Kyle Turris's value after game 30 in November or December, I would say Kyle Turris's value probably goes up because he can't be as bad as he was last year. He's a better player than that. So maybe you trade him at that point. Maybe it's the deadline that you make the big mm-hmm. move. Or maybe it's like the Kyle Turris first trade, right? Maybe it's November, an early season trade, so that you get him for a longer period of time than just a rental. By the way, congratulations to Wayne Simmonds, right? The Mark mm-hmm. Messier Award last night.
Oh, big.
Which is really cool. So he's only a Predator for probably like 18 games. Then he got hurt and probably won't get re-signed. But whatever. Congratulations. he's actually totally deserving of that award. So congratulations to Wayne Simmonds. Does it get Predator? I'm assuming it's Nashville Predator, Wayne Simmonds.
It is Nashville Predator, but if I don't know if you were watching, it was like Wayne Simmonds for all his work he did with the youth of Philadelphia.
Right, exactly. Oh, okay. So that's what I thought. But either way, congratulations are in order for him.
It may be Philly / Pred.
And that should be. That's the way it should be. So I don't know. I'm fascinated by the entire offseason. I'm sort of in this NBA wait-and-watch soap opera mode with the Predators. Because, like you said, I wouldn't be surprised at anything.
Nah, I mean, there are some moves that do they have to be made? It's not like a dire need to make a move. But
right,
I think
not like they're desperate here.
Exactly. It's not like it's a team that you know, that's at the bottom and need to make a change just to kind of put themselves in the middle of the pack. This is a team that has won their division the last 2 years, that have been in the Stanley Cup, finals, within the last 3-4 years. So this is a team that has really good core players, so they're not in this desperate, got to do something or else mode. But they would love to add a guy like Duchesne to their roster. But how do they go about doing it? I mean, there could be several different ways, scenarios, but I wouldn't be surprised if they chose not to, or if they couldn't get a deal done. I think one thing I would be surprised in is if the asking price was 10 plus.
Like 12 million?
Yeah, like 10, 5, 11. Yeah, I would be surprised.
What if he signs with another team at like $12 million per year?
Then I would believe that the Predators
did the right thing.
Yeah. Or they never really had a chance.
Yeah.
If he signs for like $11, $12 million, they never had a chance.
I mean, where do you find the space for that?
Yeah.
Outside of PK and Turris. I mean, if you trade those two, you got the space.
But, yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get, again, the one thing I don't like about the trade the PK conversation is you can't just give him away. He's too good of a player.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to bring back somebody of equal value that's cheap. You're not going to get a $2 million version of PK Subban. Like, it's just not going to happen. So, I don't know. That's why the future asset thing is interesting to me, but I don't think that's down the list for David Poile. I don't think that's a top option for him. I think keeping PK Subban and having him be a really good defenseman for this team for $9 million a year is a better option than other things that we've talked about. So, all right. Big Finish coming up next, by the way, NBA draft. I mentioned that again one more time, 6 p.m. tonight. I believe the first pick's around 6:30. Coverage at 6, though. Every single pick right here live on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have it for you tonight, so don't go anywhere. When we come back, Big Finish, Morning Drive.
Show. It's a big show. And now it's time for a Big Finish on Morning Drive.
Darren and Donna coming up top of the hour. No Darren, no Donick. No Nick, no Chase. I believe Stillman's back today, though, so he cares about us. Floyd never went anywhere, so he's committed, obviously. Derek Mason, Brad Gall. Nick, hopefully back tomorrow. Have we heard from Nick? He liked a few text messages,
yeah.
Which I don't understand the liking and the ha-haing on text. I think that's adding too much complication to our text messaging.
Liking is the best.
Maybe I'm just a grandpa.
Do you think he was running back and forth from the office when he was there? Yeah, exactly. Was like,
I just don't understand. Why do you need to like a text? Just reply. I don't know. Anyway.
It's like saying K.
Okay.
Just like, yeah, got it. Cool.
Say that then. I'm fine with that.
A grown man better not ever put K as a response.
That's what I'm saying. That's why we have the
grown
like.
Grown man don't ever
okay
put K.
Or spell it out.
You could put
O-K-A-Y.
Yeah, you could put OK or OKAY.
What about cool?
Or you could put up
can
the sign.
Say, can
you know,
I say cool?
The emoji that says OK. You know, you can do that, but a grown man should
thumbs
never
up
put K.
What about a kissy face emoji?
Depends on the recipient.
Exactly.
No,
absolutely.
To you. I'm sending it to you, Derek.
Hush your mouth.
Kissy face emoji. All right. Let's get to the big finish here and the Daily Rewind we begin with. Oh, good morning, Nashville. Welcome to the show. Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5. The Game. His name is Derek Mason. My name is Braden Gall. We are... This is probably insulting to our producer, Josh Upton, but we are down two dudes today.
Two
dudes. Brodeo 2019 starts today at noon.
I go to one of the slot machines, make sure it's a penny machine, and I just sit down there and just pull.
Pop one at a time?
Exactly. No, just put two 20s in and just pull a lever. For the next, what,
oh,
10
so,
hours?
So you put the 20 in, and it registers that you've got...
A million pennies.
200 pulls, or whatever it is.
And I'm just
that
pulling.
That math checks out.
Yeah, somewhere around there. I'm just pulling.
Fall asleep in a booth at a casino buffet, and you wake up 4 or 5 hours later...
And your ice cream has melted.
Do you not say, I need to change some things in my life?
Yeah.
Not if it happens on vacation. If it's on vacation, you're just getting after life. If it happens like Monday through Friday, that you might have to take a look in the mirror.
Well, technically, it is Monday through Friday.
Well,
everybody's on vacation.
That's true. Semantics.
Yeah, I
so
need
that
a
would
bed
ruin
later.
My that would ruin my entire next 4 days.
I can't go in a casino.
How could I focus on all these dudes being in my cabin for the next 3 days if I didn't get a good night's sleep on Wednesday night?
And then the smoke in the casino
will
irritate my allergies. I'm done for
We're
the day.
So old.
Yeah, I'm done for the
Listen
day.
Listen to yourselves.
Like, I need a bed. I'm going to bring my own pillow. You're listening to Ricky Bass, live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Link Mount Juliet. Also, Morning Drive.
I like that, Josh. Little red Corvette.
I asked the intern, Jimmy. I said, if you got any requests, you just let me know. He said, I got one right now.
Like
little red Corvette.
What year did this song come out?
The Jay. Early. It might have been mid 80s.
I was going to say.
Yeah, mid 80s when it came out.
How old is our...
Jimmy said 86.
86. Jimmy knows this.
Jimmy, how
Jimmy's
old were
21.
You in
21.
Oh, Jimmy wasn't even born.
How do you know about.
Yeah, no, Jimmy wasn't born.
How do you know about that, man? Corey Curtis joining us here from News 2. Corey, how are you, my friend?
I am adequate, thank you. How are you guys today?
Every morning we're just striving to be slightly better than average.
okay.
That is the goal in the show. First,
let me know when you get there.
Yeah.
Nick, I think you need to really pay attention to what you're eating or drinking. Because that's the only reason why... A person, not even a man, a person is back and forth to the office for 4 hours.
It's also the only reason he ever calls and says.
Exactly. So there's something that you are eating or drinking that is causing your stomach to be turned upside down.
Well, but there's multiple reasons you could be going to the office.
Yeah. We know he's not manscaping. We know he's not manscaping. Nick can't do anything by himself, so I'm not. You're not going to make me believe that he's cooking.
You're right about that.
He's eating horrible food.
There's no chance he's
eating Pop-Tarts for dinner.
Probably.
So, Nick, I know you're listening. I know you are. You need to reevaluate your diet, brother.
and the segment.
We're going to get a colonoscopy.
A what?
A colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy? Yeah.
It's like colonoscopy and a catastrophe.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson reportedly almost bought Marvel so that he could play Spider-Man. Would Michael Jackson have made a good Spider-Man?
No.
No, not at all. Would he have to say something?
No.
I wouldn't have took him serious with his voice. I come to see you. Michael, huh?
I'm not going to lie. I have been a bizarre love of the first Pirates of the Caribbean. It's not a normal thing for me to like that kind of movie, and I love that movie. Also, Keira Knightley, strong.
Oh, yeah. My pirate name, I don't know. Do we have to use our first name? Derek Woodley.
That is so funny. There's so many reasons.
No, you don't have to use your first name, but... Woodleg is a good one. And it's scary. They hear you coming. That's all Woodleg.
Derek Mason, Bryn Gall, Nick Cale out, injured, questionable for tomorrow. Chase McCabe, questionable for the rest of his life.
You know everybody's going to be stankin'.
Old Woodleg. Old Woodleg walking around the studio. I was told on Twitter I should be bourbonize is what I should be.
I like that one.
Isn't that just being drunk?
Yeah.
Pirates drunk? Is that an unfair criticism of pirates?
Nope, not really. If you're on a ship.
Are we not being sensitive enough to the feelings of the pirates?
No. Or if you're on a ship for that long.
You know everybody's going to be stankin'.
Yeah. Some scurvy?
Stankin'
right?
And
people
drunk.
Get scurvy. What's that? I don't know.
You know everybody's going to be stankin'.
Something you get on a ship.
Yeah. You're going to be stankin' and drunk.
Derek Woodleg sounds like a running back for the Patriots. is that wrong? Am I wrong on that? He catches a lot of passes.
Danny.
Yeah, Danny Woodhead, Derek Woodleg.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. On tap tonight, by the way. Oh, go ahead, Josh. You want to play the music here? Make it official.
It's your guide for the happenings around town and what to watch from your couch. Here's what's on tap tonight, now on Morning Drive.
2 p.m. Central Time, our girls, USA women against Sweden, of course, coming up at 2 o'clock in the Women's World Cup, so I'm all over that. I know you're all over the draft. 6 o'clock begins. Mm-hmm. Coverage right here, every pick on 102.5 The Game. What are you looking for tonight?
The draft. I will be watching the draft, consume it all. And then I've been watching Lucifer on Netflix, really good.
Interesting.
Season 2. No, I'm on season 3 now.
Interesting.
It's really good.
We started Big Little Lies last night.
Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit of that. I hadn't seen.
Meryl Streep, welcome.
Uh-huh.
She's good at what she does. All right, so obviously Matt Duchesne watch is underway. It doesn't officially begin until Sunday, but obviously with all the NHL GMs convening in Vancouver tomorrow, anything could happen at any moment. So
is Porth on top of the Batman building with binoculars? Scouring the city.
He actually has.
Duchesne comes.
There's a Smilodon logo that he flashes into the night sky to signal all Preds fans that something has happened with Matt Duchesne. It's gold and blue smoke that comes out of the Bridgestone Arena. For Josh Upton, for Derek Mason, my name is Bryn Gall, and the fabulously talented, wise beyond his years intern Jimmy J back there. Nick Cale, maybe he's back tomorrow. Who knows? Darren McDonough coming up next. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, DJ Nashville. I love you.